Here she is, Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. And every week we sit down with her and she counts her money and we decide what worked and what didn't. And we have the kind of meeting that they don't have at the Trump campaign where actual negatives
cool minds prevail.
Are spoken. It's all brought to you by Keller Graduate School of Management. We learn loud. All right. Susan Schmidt, let me ask you a question here. What in the hell is going on? First of all, let's energy prices always come up because there's a lot of movement on the Dow here. There's, as you pointed out, you said there's going to be a rocky fall, and it has been such. What's happening there?
Oh, for sure. Now, volatility, we've talked about this in the past. I think it's become my favorite word in the last couple of months, and it's going to continue to be something I talk about a lot. We are at September 30th today, so that is the very end of the third quarter. We're into the final quarter, the final stretch of the year for performance. So we have a lot of volatility in the market because of the election, and then we've watched oil swing all over the place this year. And again, this week, we had big news on oil. So the major oil producers are meeting, and they're in Algeria this week. They just concluded a meeting, and there is talk that, which surprised everyone, they came to agreement that they are going to curb production. So supply is going to come down. Now, this isn't official yet. This is actually going to be, they've agreed to agree at the OPEC meeting in November, on November 30th. So the excitement around their agreeing to agree, remember this is the Middle East, a lot of things can change, has really caused some positive reaction around oil stocks, and we've seen oil prices go back up. Now, with oil prices going back up, what's interesting here is they're still sub $50. So even though they're up, they're not up that much.
Does that mean, so is that this thing where naturally gas prices would follow? So it's maybe some excitement for the economy and people who are invested in oil or energy-related stocks, but there's also the impact of gas prices.
There is the impact of gas prices. Now, gas usually goes up in the summer because it's our peak driving season, and refineries know that. So generally, our gas prices in the summer are a little bit higher, and they'll start to tail off in the fall. I think the good thing about this oil price increase is it just provides a little comfort and some underlying support to the economy and certainly the energy industry. And it's not a dramatic shift, and it doesn't look like it's going to be a dramatic shift, you know, in the next couple of months, which is nice because then the price of gas for the consumer isn't going to see rapid swings. And I think that's always a better environment to be in.
Right. It certainly is.
All right. So do we think heading into 2017, we're going to start to see gas prices go up?
Probably. Okay. So if this actually comes to fruition and there is an agreement on curbing supply and we start to see that production from oil companies come back in, it will mean that we're going to shift the balance of supply and demand. So as the economy continues to muddle along, as long as it stays positive, we're going to end up with negative production relative to demand. So we're going to end up having more demand than we have production. That'll stabilize the price. And that means as we go into 2017, next summer, gas is probably going to be a lot more expensive than it was this summer.
Right.
So be prepared. All it's going back up.
I get very nice mileage on my Tyro.
You
just want to point that out.
Unbelievable.
You do.
Such a high-performing, large vehicle.
I know.
Downhill everywhere.
Yeah, well, I do. I like to point downhill anyway. It's easier that way.
In life.
Yes, that's really true. All right, what is this fiscal stimulus that everybody's talking about?
This is interesting. Now, we've mentioned this a couple times in the past few weeks here. Fiscal stimulus is really about the government spending to help stimulate the economy. When we talk about monetary policy, we're talking about the Fed, the Federal Reserve, and what they're doing with interest rates. And then when we talk about fiscal policy, we're talking about what the government is going to do. And so since the debate, and now that we're in full heat of the election, fiscal policy has come up because both candidates are talking about spending, how they're going to spend on the economy, how they're going to revive the economy. So what has been brewing these last couple months is a recognition that monetary policy, interest rates, have really done all that they can do. So the Fed has dropped rates as low as they can. They've had a modest raise. There'll probably be another modest raise. But really, interest rates aren't going to impact. They're having, the more we play with the interest rates, they're low. They can't get any lower. Raising them a little bit isn't going to change things a whole lot. We need another stimulus plan in here, and that's got to come from the government. So a lot of talk right now, and it's a phrase you're going to hear more and more of in the coming weeks, is fiscal stimulus, which means government spend.
And with all the politics of the moment, how are they able to get that done? I mean, isn't there a, I mean, I, both of the major candidates here. I'm not talking about Gary Johnson, the Tribune just endorsed.
No. Hello. Hello.
Aleppo.
Aleppo, po, po, po.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about the other two. But they all say they're going to spend anyway. So there's nothing new to that. There's really no fractious argument between those two about it.
No, that's true. There is, you know, going to be some sort of spend. The market likes to think in big picture. So the spend is great. Once someone gets elected, it's still a couple of months out. We've got to figure out, you know, when that spend is going to take place, what they can actually get passed through Congress. One of the things that just happened was that we did get announcement of a continuing resolution being passed by Congress, because we were almost at the point where the government was going to shut down again last week because we didn't have funding for the government. Now, we've pushed through that, so we have spending for the next few months, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And the government will come back into session. There's no big change in fiscal policy that can happen right away just because of the election process and then, you know, whoever the sitting president is, getting along with Congress, getting things initiated. It's going to take some time, but big picture fiscal policy, the market likes to focus on this right now because it's the next bright spot out there. Is that we're going to see spend, it'll be more stimulus for the economy. It should be a good thing.
All right, let's talk about Deutsche Bank, because there's a lot of headlines about Deutsche Bank today. And how it could, if Deutsche Bank, could Deutsche Bank go under? And if so, that's a big deal, isn't it?
It is a big deal. Now, I think Deutsche Bank is an interesting story to talk about right now because Deutsche Bank is under a lot of pressure. The Department of Justice is coming after Deutsche Bank, and it's the last one standing that hasn't paid a fine for selling mortgage-backed securities and activities around that mortgage-backed securities market that was a big part of what pushed us into the recession and the financial crisis in 2008. So all the other big banks have settled. Deutsche Bank is still the one outlier, and the Department of Justice is coming after them now, saying, all right, we have a fine for you, and this is what it's going to be. So initial talk was $14 billion. That's a huge amount. There's a new article out today that suggests it's more in the range of $4 or $5 billion. Either way, still a big number. And there's concern that, can the bank handle it? Is it big enough? Is its capital base secure enough to be able to pay that and withstand it? So I think the positives here are banks are in a lot better position, even Deutsche Bank. Deutsche Bank will have to figure out something and pay this fine, but it's still well capitalized. So when we heard this news in 2008, people panicked when they started to think that there was a problem with the capital of Lehman or Bear Stearns, and we're not seeing that panic today. So, Deutsche Bank paper is still trading.
Well, and that stuff was not based on a fine. That was based on the actual underlying securities
that
turned out to be junk.
Underlying. But that also impacted their capital.
I saw the Big Short. I didn't understand it, but I saw it, and that's what I got out of it.
I know you saw Selena Gomez in the tub telling you.
Yeah.
Bubble.
Ain't that right, baby?
Didn't miss that part.
Yeah.
Are there any sectors you really like right now, Susan? I mean, I think volatility, as you say, can be scary to investors and in general, and this election might also create some nervousness. But in general, what are you looking at in terms of where you can put some money right now?
You know, I think sectors are, by and large, volatile, each for its own separate reasons. So energy sector, always volatile. We're seeing it on an upswing right now because of confidence in oil prices. That confidence ebbs and flows. So we'll continue to see volatility there. People are very concerned about what have been safe haven areas like utilities and REITs, real estate investment trusts, because they pay a high dividend. So people have flooded into those to try and get some sort of yield. But they do look pretty expensive. Then I always feel like we have, you know, pretty good industrial base here in the U.S. I think the consumer is still strong, but it's a smarter consumer. Their savings rate is much higher. They have a better personal balance sheet, but they have a better personal balance sheet because they're not outspending as recklessly as they were going into the recession. They're actually very careful about where they're spending, and I think spending patterns for the consumer have shifted. So as we see all of this, it becomes, we're seeing that there's a lower correlation. Stocks aren't all moving together as they were. So it really becomes a company-by-company specific story. And I think that's what investors need to focus on right now if you want to delve into the minutiae. Otherwise, I take a look at the market overall. U.S. companies are doing okay. We're muddling along. And we still seem to be in a better position than the rest of the world.
Yeah, the Dow is near record highs. I mean, even today, it was up,
for sure.
It was up today. What, 150 or something like that? Mm-hmm. So,
great. So 164. So, you know, up another percent at record highs. And, you know, Roy, I always tell you, look at the S&P, not the Dow. But
whatever.
One day you'll
that was up 17. I know. I know.
That's
and why
true.
Is that,
also,
Susan? Explain that to us again. Why do you say look at the S&P?
So the Dow Industrial is only 30 stocks. They're 30 stocks. It's a very narrow look. They're very industrial heavy. They're a very narrow look. Whereas if we look at the S&P 500 is 500 stocks. So it's the 500 largest market cap companies. And I think that's a much broader perspective. Those 30 names can be misleading at times. They don't necessarily portray all of business across the U.S. And so I feel like the S&P is a little bit better, although Roe is very fixated on the Dow, so it's hard to get him off that.
It's three-letter names, like mm-hmm. Roe, Dow.
Also bigger numbers, too.
Bigger, yeah, bigger numbers.
Way up,
people
and
get
way down,
awkward.
And way up. And
oh, what did the Dow do today?
It helps anxiety.
Yes,
you know?
It does. And in the S&P, it's such a 500. I don't know how to keep it. Too many things to think about. But the S&P near its high as well, right off its high. It's 52-week high, madam, is 2,193, and it's sitting at 2,168 right now.
That
so,
is
hello.
True. And an interesting point here, we talk about the Dow Industrials and the S&P, and those are all larger companies. So right now, year to date, the Dow is up 5%, the S&P is up 6%. If you drop down to smaller size companies, so the Russell 2500 or the Russell Small Cap, so those would be the 2,000 smallest companies on the big exchanges.
Yeah.
That index is actually up almost 13%.
Oh, that's good. So, small business, that's good for America, right?
That's great for business here in America.
I got one right. It's like in high school, if I got an answer right on a math test, I would jump around. Yeah, I got it. I nailed it.
It's also because those smaller companies, and as you're investing, this is what I think about, are domestically focused.
There
they're avoiding the problems in the rest of the world, less currency issues. They're focused here where the U.S. economy is the strongest, and people feel confident about having exposure.
I don't care what Trump says. All right. Thank you very much, Susan Schmidt. Susie Sunshine from Dallas. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Susan.
All brought to you
my
by
pleasure.
Keller Graduate School of Management. Here's Violetta Pattermenick with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.